is that spending time in His presence changes our atmosphere, the atmosphere around us. Think about that. When we spend time in His presence, it changes the atmosphere in our lives. There's a shifting that takes place. And if there is a change in atmosphere in our homes, when we come to church, you know what? You bring yourself with you. There will be a change in atmosphere in the church. Is that true? You know, I'm not very interested in the weather. I know my wife is going to smile at me when I say this. But Krisha is. She's very interested in the weather. Even this morning and last night, you know. Huh? Well, the only time I'm interested in the weather is when it gets too hot. Man, I can't take the heat. But outside of that, whether it rains, it snows, I don't have a problem. But Krisha's very interested in the weather. And because she's interested in the weather, that means I get a regular weather report. I can tell you what the temperature is going to be in 5 days' time, and I can tell you whether it's going to be raining or not. Just ask me. All right. Thank you, my darling. She tells me all of these things. But there's one thing that affects our climate and affects our weather. Do you know what it is? It's our atmosphere. The atmosphere affects that. It's the atmosphere. And you know what atmosphere is? When you talk about atmosphere, it talks about surrounding influence. Those things that surround us, that influence us. So there's two things as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that actually influence us in terms of our atmosphere. It is our physical surrounding, what's going on around us. And it is also our spiritual surrounding. And this is very important, folks, because what happens is that we create the mood and the atmosphere for our own lives. If you're a grumpy, sulky person, well, you've created that atmosphere around you, yourself. That's not how God has made you. Is that true? So we create that mood, we create that atmosphere for our own lives, and that same mood and atmosphere will have a direct impact on the church. Because you and I are part of the church, and believe it or not, we come into this place and we are all gathered together here. So depending on how you are at home will impact on your brothers and sisters here on a Sunday morning. True? Listen here. I said this in our home group, one of the groups on this week. If we all arrived here, at the same time on Sunday morning, and we all parked in that area at the side there where we like to park, that area, we parked there, but just as we arrive, you know, we've got our cars full, there's husbands and wives and kids and, you know, friends and so on, but just as we arrive there, just before we get out of the car, we start arguing with each other, and man, we let rip, and we argue, and we argue, and we argue, for 5 minutes, in that car. Then we all get out at the same time, we walk up these stairs. Would you be able to feel a different atmosphere in this place? Point taken. You will. You'll be able to cut this atmosphere in this place with a knife. Don't look at me as if you don't know what I'm talking about. One of the interesting things, I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but how often do you find husband and wife on the way to church, there's disagreement? It's like this is the devil's playground. Give him half a chance. Sunday morning, he will do his utmost to make sure that there's a bit of conflict that is actually going on. So this morning, I want to speak about that. I want to speak about atmosphere, right? And the title of my message is, Be an Atmosphere Changer. And hopefully, by the time we leave here, we will know how to be atmosphere changers. So we need to change the atmosphere, folks. We need to change it. We've all just agreed that if we you know, have a disagreement out in the car park, we all arrive here at the same time, we're all sitting in this place, that there will be a heaviness in this place. That is the atmosphere that is around us. So we need to change the atmosphere. We need to choose to change the atmosphere in our lives. We need to change the atmosphere in our homes as well, and especially in the church. In the church, when we walk in here. So this morning, I'm just going to throw out some pointers. Okay, just going to throw them out here. And you can do with these things what you want. Some of them, hopefully all of them, you're going to embrace. But just take what you can, what will be useful to you. So we're going to talk about atmosphere. The first thing, an atmosphere of allowing the heavens to be open. When we walk in here and we're all grumpy and we've all been fighting, I can tell you something, that it's the atmosphere in this place is so thick and it's so negative, it's as if the heavens have been closed. Is that true? So we need to ensure that when we come into this place, like all of us do, I know you guys, I know we've all prayed an hour before we came to church this morning. All right? I mean, I know that. Okay. So we won't go there. But we need to make sure that when we come into this place, that there are absolutely no spiritual hindrances. No spiritual hindrances at all. And I know too, at times, that, you know, there are trials and tribulations and difficulties, and we feel like we are pressed from this side and that side, and it's quite difficult. And sometimes we even feel as if there is a big brass, plate over us, that when we start to pray, our prayers go up and it's like they're hitting this brass plate and they're ricocheting all over the place. Do you ever feel like that? Oh, I'm trying to check out the atmosphere in this place and it is heavy, man. Listen, does that ever happen to you? It happens, folks. That's just the way it is. It seems like, you know, it's difficult to break through. And there are times when we allow, listen to this, we allow our circumstances to dictate our mood. That creates atmosphere. We allow our situation, we allow our circumstances to dictate our moods. Krisha gave a very, very on-point message this morning for all of us about this thing of joy. Folks, we choose to be joyful. Don't allow your circumstances to dictate your mood. And when we come into church, you know one of the main reasons why we come in here? It's to worship. It's to worship the King of Kings and it's to worship the Lord of Lords. But we let our circumstances hinder that. We bring stuff into this place, from home, wherever it might be. And the result is, you know what the result is? If we all have to do that, if we all had that fight in the car park and disagreement and we came in here, you know what happens in here? No true worship. No true worship. You can't worship the Lord wholeheartedly when you are in that state. And we can choose the atmosphere that is around us. And this is the point I'm making here this morning. So we need to learn something. We need to learn how to cast our cares upon the Lord and let Him fight our battles for us. The Bible, what does the Bible say about that? That the victory, the battle is His and the victory is? Let me say that again. Whose battle is it? It's the Lord's battle and the victory is ours. But folks, so often, amen. Listen, you should stand here sometimes where I'm standing. Okay? And I know it hasn't happened, but it looks like somebody has given us, all of us, a lemon to suck just before the service. Do you know what you look like when you suck a lemon? Huh? You know what you look like. Go look in the mirror then. Folks, we need to be joyful. Is that true? We need to make sure that we are determining and that we are creating the atmosphere around us and don't allow the evil one to come in and to mess with it. That's right. So, what I'm saying is there should be absolutely nothing that stands between us and our worship of the Lord. Nothing. Not anger. Not resentment. Not bitterness. not unforgiveness, not fear and anxiety, and I mean, that list can go on and on. Nothing must come between us and our worship of the Lord. Very important. The next thing about atmosphere. We need to create an atmosphere, right, of unified expectancy or unified expectation. That talks about us coming together in unity. What does the word say about unity? Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. So if you want to be blessed, you need to make sure that the other people around you are in unity with you. That there's absolute unity here. Because God commands a blessing. So we need to create this atmosphere of unified. And the other word I said was expectancy or expectation. Do you come into church expecting? Where there's an expectation? Folks, we have to. Otherwise, we are just religious. We're just going through the motions. So do you come to church with excitement? Do you come to church where there's an expectation? Do you come to church believing that something incredible is going to happen? If I announce to you that next Sunday, Jesus is going to be standing here bodily. He hasn't done it for ever, you know, for the last 2,000 years. But next Sunday, he is going to just be here for an hour, and you know, then you'll be back to where he is. So Jesus is bodily going to be here next week. And if I had to announce that to us, I'm telling you something. We would be here early. We would be here very, very early. This place would be chock-a-block. You would have people sitting on the stairs all the way down there. You would find that this restaurant would be full, and it would be full of people praying, interceding. You know what else you will do? You will grab your unsaved relatives, and you will drag them through these doors. Is that true? Is that true if Jesus is going to be standing here? Hey Clem, is that true? Folks, we should come to church every single Sunday with this kind of passion and this kind of expectation. Right? Always expecting Jesus to be here. You know why? Because he is. Jesus is here. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 18 verse 20, he said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Something's wrong. Why should it be different? Because, you know, Jesus is going to be here physically after 2,000 years, just for that half an hour or whatever. Am I right? Blink, blink. I've got a lovely view from here. We're talking about atmosphere. Another one. The church must have an atmosphere of expectation, where there is an expectation. When we come here, there's an expectation of the supernatural. We serve an amazing God, right? There are signs and wonders and miracles take place in his presence. We need to come expecting something unthinkable to happen. This needs to be our heart attitude here, folks. We need to come to church, or you know, whenever we gather together, with the right attitude. Now, we know that the Lord responds to faith, does he? So we need to come, when we gather together, with hearts that are full of faith, so that we can please him. So that we can please him. The word says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, the word says that God responds to people who believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him? Are we diligent? And are we seeking him? And are we diligently seeking him? I'm just asking. We need to come, folks, Church needs to be exciting. And we need to make sure that we are kind of on top of the curve, that we are not, how can I say, hindering God the Holy Spirit from having His way amongst us. So we need to come to church on a Sunday with a heart that is full of faith. And I believe that as we come into this place with hearts that are full of faith, we will not be disappointed. Check yourself out right now. How is it, what attitude is it that we come together with? There needs to be an atmosphere in which everyone can receive. And everyone means everyone. We all need to, when we come into this place, that with this attitude, man, today is my day. Sometimes we come in and say, oh, yeah, I know, you know, Doug's going to receive, okay? Dee's going to receive, but I never receive. Sometimes it's a mindset that we actually come with. Folks, don't come in here, don't come to any church with these type of limitations. No limitations should be placed on anyone. No limitations. Everyone can receive. And I want to just give us a couple of examples that we see in the Word of God. Right? And this is that everyone can receive. The first one, who remembers Rahab? Rahab in the Bible, what was she? She was a prostitute. Folks, Rahab, her name is written, you go and look at Hebrews 11, where it lists the heroes of the faith. And right amongst Samson and all of those names, guess whose name is there? Rahab. Why? She had an encounter with the Lord. She, you know, something happened. There was a change that took place in her life. Right there as well. What about Paul? Paul was such a, how can I say, a vicious persecutor of the church. And yet Paul wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. Why? He had an encounter. He was open to God actually shaking him up and giving him a second chance. What about David? David, remember with Bathsheba. At the time when kings should have been out to war, where was Davy? He was parked off in his palace, having a snooze knocker. He's having a snooze, and then he gets up from his snooze and hops onto the roof. And he sees this beautiful woman bathing. Okay? So what happened with David? He then commits adultery with her. That's one thing. She falls pregnant. And says, well, how do we solve this? Ultimately, he has her husband, Uriah, murdered. There's David. Right there. Okay? Murder, adultery. And yet, God, this incredible God that we serve, what does God call him? David, a man after my own heart. Folks, this is for all of us. What about Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene, she was filled with demons. She had an encounter. She had an encounter with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. What about Gideon? Gideon was a coward. Gideon was a coward, folks. He was a coward. But what happened? Next thing, this guy that's such a coward, next thing it's the angel of the Lord comes to him and calls him a mighty man of valor. Yeah. Won't do that again. He calls him a mighty man of valor, this Gideon guy. Folks, there are no limits with the Lord. No limits. We must not put limits in terms on ourselves, in terms of what the Lord will do with us. Okay? The Lord can do anything. If the Lord can get involved and do what he did with Gideon, with Mary Magdalene, with David, with Paul, with Rahab and all of these people, what's different? You know what? I said earlier on, God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. So what he did for these people, God, the same God, will do for you and for me as well. These are incredible things, folks. All we have to do is walk by faith and not by sight and allow God to actually intervene. Allow God in. Amen. We're still talking about atmosphere. Yes. There needs to be an atmosphere that endorses that people are important. I want to ask you, are people important to you? Are people important to you? You know that Jesus shed his blood? God sent his only begotten Son because of people. Okay, he shed his blood. And the gospel is for all people. The gospel is not just for those people that you like. Hey? I want to go and minister to you. I like him, yeah. I'll go and minister to you. Folks, the gospel is for everyone. We need to be sharing the gospel with everyone. And it's quite interesting that the door in a church, the church door is open to all people, every single person. Because if the doors of churches are not open to everyone, then the church is a private club. And no church is a private club. I want to ask you a question. How friendly is this church? Very, 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 very. I'm so pleased you said that because my next question is, how friendly are you? Because you're the church. I'm just saying. Okay? So you got me there. But yes, I think we are friendly. But folks, we are the church. Right? So you can't be grumpy in church and, you know, just such a grumpy and always in a bad space and a bad frame of mind and no joy and then complain about how unfriendly the church is. Boy, we get a lot of that. Okay? You are the church. We are the church. So what I'm saying is that if people are important, every single person that walks through those doors over there, we need to treat those people as if they are the most important people on the planet. You know why? Because they are. Jesus gave his life for them. So they are important. To God they're important. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Do you know what? You and I were part of the world. And he loved us into the kingdom. The Bible says, so many people will say, oh, I found Jesus. I found Jesus. Praise the Lord. No, Jesus found you. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. Jesus actually found us. So this is true, okay? So that includes everyone that comes in here. Rich people. If rich people come in here, if, I don't know if you're still alive, in our day you always would say Harry Oppenheimer, okay? But if he comes in here, hey, but, you know, there's no preferential treatment, okay? Come into this place. Be part of it. Poor people, no preferential treatment. Rich people, poor people. Ugly people, pretty people, gorgeous people, people that are easy to get on with, people that are difficult to get on with, everyone, just come in here. Why? The Bible says that the Lord wants everyone to receive salvation, everyone. So people are important to God, folks, and if people are important to God, then they should be important to us as well. So we need to start to see people the same way as God sees people. And ask ourselves that question, do we? Right? We're still talking about atmosphere. Another one, atmosphere. Where there is an expectation, an atmosphere of expectation of victory. Do you expect to be victorious? Do you expect that breakthrough in your life? Right? Folks, not a defeatist spirit in this place. If you manage to see one or you can discern spirits, kick it out. No defeatist spirits allowed in this place. Right? There's no place for them here. Where God is able to deliver anyone at any time. And that is the God that we serve. He will deliver anyone at any time. And I just want to give us a few scriptures on this, that He is the deliverer. He is the deliverer. We see in Psalm 72 verse 12, For he delivered the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He is the deliverer. We see in Psalm 91 verse 3, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He is our deliverer. In 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, he is the deliverer, and he wants us all to be free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, folks. So we need an atmosphere in this place that actually shows victorious living. When we come in here, expecting it, even if we're not there. You might not be there yet. But if we start to think like that and start to embrace what the Lord says about us and who we are and we know our identity, we can come into this place expecting breakthrough in our lives. Victorious living. It's possible for everybody. Talking atmosphere. How are we doing? We okay? Cool. The church needs to embrace an apostolic atmosphere that we have a real, how can I say, desire to do what the Lord has called us to do in terms of seeing people snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the Lord's kingdom. Let me say that this type of atmosphere and this type of thinking, it should be in our DNA. That's who we are. That's who we are. And this is not just a place where we gather together. Hey, let's get together. Let's hold the fort, guys. We need to hold the fort. And, you know, this is not what our times together are like. We need to be those, each one of us now, that are reaching out in our towns, in our cities, and as the Lord leads us. We see in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to all creation. We see in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What do we receive? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Bedford View, this area here, this is our Jerusalem. It's our Jerusalem. Our Judea is a little bit further on. It might be, maybe it's Boksburg and Vereeniging. All right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Now we might be going into other countries where there's different language groups. And then to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the world as well. This is what we have been called to do. And folks, listen here. We do this while we are still being called salt and light. You are called, I'm called, we are called the salt and the light. What does salt do? We add flavor. That's what salt does. We add flavor. And also light. In other words, we reveal the truth as well. So we do this while being the salt and the light. Whereabout? In our sphere of influence. In our sphere of influence. Where is it that you spend your day? Every day. That place. That is your sphere of influence. That's where you are able to influence people. It's wonderful. We can say, okay, guys, we're going on an outreach. You know, we're going back into Swaziland. There might be two or three that, you know, come along with us. That's good. But where we spend our days, that is where we can make the most impact. That is our sphere of influence. And folks, I want to encourage us to be those that are bold. Let me ask you a question, first of all. Do people in your sphere of influence or people where you work, do they know you're a Christian? I would hope so. I hope you're not a closet Christian. You're a Christian on Sundays. Rest of the week, okay. I would imagine all of us, people, wherever we are, people know that we are Christians. But then I want to ask a question. Do people in your sphere of influence, wherever you spend your day, do they see Christ in you? Do they see that you're different? Folks, this is the salt we're talking about where we can add flavor. But if we are Christians, I know we're Christians, and we're conducting ourselves in a way that we're just the same as everyone else, I don't think it's easy for them to be able to embrace us because they see the hypocrisy in us. Is that true? Folks, we need to be honest when it comes to these things. The next one, nearly done. Talking about atmosphere. The expectation of financial blessing in the church. There needs to be, this place needs to be a place where there is more than enough. Okay? And this is, don't misquote me here, because people will say, oh, you talk about money, this is name it and claim it, and you know, a whole bunch of things. Okay, we need to stop making excuses, all of us, for our own disobedience in the area of finances when it comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying that. The church is here. We are here to disciple people. We are here to spread the gospel. We're here to train up people and to help people. Okay? Are we doing our share? Are we doing, when it comes to finances, what the Lord has actually commanded us to do? I'm just asking you a question right there. Okay? So in order for the church to actually do what it needs to do, we need resources. We need finances. And then people say, oh, but Brother Dave, okay, don't you know that the gospel of Jesus is free? Yes, the gospel of Jesus is free. Water is also free, but it's the plumbing that costs. True? The plumbing costs. Water's free. Enough of that one. Next one. Atmosphere. How are we doing? Still okay? We thought we were empty today. Let's check next week, eh? Okay, now this is a very important one. And I want to read us some scripture. There needs to be an atmosphere where there is no pessimism about the future. No pessimism about the future. Folks, we are all that the Lord has here on planet Earth. And we need to be those, the salt and the light. And we need to be those who are upbeat and enthusiastic about even our country of ours, where we are living right now, this country of ours. We need to be upbeat and enthusiastic. We need to demonstrate the salt and this light. And I want to say this, that there are people in the church today who are really, really pessimistic and down in the dumps about our country. And they're in the church, right? You know why? Do you know why people are down? All of us. And this applies, listen, you know, you point one finger, there's three pointing at you. So I'm talking to me here. But I'm talking to all of us. Folks, the reason is why we are all down and we get pessimistic and down in the dumps is because we are looking in the wrong place. We are looking at things in the natural and we are not seeing things the way that God wants us to see things. It's as simple as that. And the problem with pessimism and the negativity, it rubs off. It rubs off so easily on other people. You know, we can't wait to get to the hairdressing salon. Oh man, did you hear about that break-in and they shot this guy and they did this? Then you go, you know, to a doctor's rooms and, am I right? This is what we're hearing all the time. And it's continually hearing and we continually hear, we have to draw a line somewhere and do our utmost to turn this thing around. Instead of us being pessimistic about our country, we need to be optimistic. What does the Bible say about this? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Okay, I'm going to read us some scriptures here. Let me just share what the Word of God says about this. And hopefully it's going to change our attitude and that we all become enthusiastic and upbeat and motivated. Psalm 93 verse 1 says, "The Lord rules as King. He is clothed with majesty." This is our God, clothed with majesty. "The Lord has clothed himself. He has armed himself with power. The world was set in place. It cannot be moved." Solution, what do you say? God is in control. Is that what it's saying there? God is in control. Psalm 22 verse 28. "The kingdom belongs to the Lord, and He rules the nations. He rules the nations. Folks, God is in control. He's in control. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. God is in control. God is in control. We can see from these scriptures, he is in control. He knows what's happening. If God knows the number of hairs that you've got on your head, do you think he doesn't know what's going on here? I'm just asking, right? What is our challenge? What should we be doing about this? And our challenge is really to live in an atmosphere of faith. Our challenge is to live with an expectation, with expectation, and also to pray the way the Lord wants us to pray about the situation. That's what we need to be doing. Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, entrust your ways to the Lord. Trust him, and he will act on your behalf. If we trust him. And just that verse shows faith, and it shows expectation as well. So we need to remember, folks, that God will fulfill his word. And it depends on how we interpret stuff. And he wants us to be upbeat. He wants us to be enthusiastic. He wants us to be men and women of faith. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. When we put our trust in him, he will direct us. So, in summarizing this, our job is to cooperate with him. All God has on planet Earth are believers, you know, in terms of people that are doing what he wants us to do. So we need to cooperate with him. We need to be upbeat about our country. We need to be enthusiastic about our country, optimistic about our country. And how can I say? Maybe when those negative conversations start, the starting point is, let's not entertain them. Something has to shift. Does God want us to walk around all negative, down in the dumps because, you know, we can see what's going on and he doesn't know what's going on? Or does he want us to trust in him and let him guide us and change us? And as we respond to him, we'll see that there'll be a change that actually happens. Is that true? Can we work on that one? All of us. Like I said, you point one finger, three's pointing here. I mean, I can also, we all get upset. We see what's going on. But let's change our attitude and let's try to influence other people to be upbeat as well. And then the final one I want to speak about, talking about atmosphere. An atmosphere that results in worship in the church. Worship in the church. Folks, the atmosphere where the Spirit of God is released, where the Spirit of God has such freedom to do what he wants to do, and that we are not limiting him, right, with the way we interpret things. So we have to get to a place where worship is truly heartfelt adoration to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And when we come into this place, like I said, I know we all pray an hour before we get here. That's why we would never fight in the parking lot. I think I'm struggling here. Listen, that was a joke, by the way. Okay, one person. The rest of you are all bent out of shape already. Anyway, okay. So when we come into this place, there needs to be a reverence for him. Okay? We need to come into this place when we just, you know, exalt him, and there's such awe. Like, he's just so awesome. We come into this place where there's an expectation of seeing a manifestation of his power, you know, in our midst, and his presence is so thick in this place. And we know that God and God is love, that the love of God is revealed and demonstrated and released in this place. So we should have a strong, how can I say, urgency maybe is a word, a sense of urgency to praise him, to want to praise him, exalt him and glorify him and lift up his name. That's what we want to do. And if we really want to see the glory of God really coming into this place. Folks, we have to create an atmosphere before we even get here of absolutely true worship, so that when we get here, we're ready. Not that we get here, you know, to kind of be healed and patched up with bandages and what's that red stuff? Mercurochrome and all those things, so that we feel better by the time we leave out, by the time we move out. We need to come in ready to praise and worship Him, right? The Bible tells us that He lives within the praises of His people. That's where He is. All right, so when these things that I've mentioned here this morning, these atmosphere changes, when these things are put into place, we, our home, wherever we are at home, our church, and our city will be changed. There will be a releasing, loosed and changed. Things will start to happen. And the power of God, folks, let me say this, the power of God will be unleashed. And when this happens, when we apply these things, we will see revival unleashed over this country of ours like we've never seen before. But it starts with us changing our own atmosphere. Amen. Is that true? Father, thank You so much, Lord. We see that the responsibility is on us to change our atmosphere. And as we change, it impacts on others and others in the church and other people that we come into contact with. And Lord, may we be those, as we heard in this word this morning, that song, that this little light of mine, let it shine, that our lights shine as believers in Jesus, that our lights shine in this lost and dying world. And we say thank You for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.